start with the Holy Spirit. Remember I said about how you get revelation? You pray, and boring, a sentence, a thought drops on you. Then you go and check up. You do all the homework. One revelation can take 6 months of study. Now, where is our safeguard? Are we trying to read something there that is not there? No. This is a basic happening that Jesus is telling us. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. All these verses are showing how He does it. And we need to hear Him. We need to recognize what He's trying to say. So, the safeguard is context. You cannot run out of the context. And let's say John 14, 15, 16. You look at it upside down, everywhere you'll find that we have still been very strict in its context. Except that how we tie it is fascinating. The first Corinthians chapter. It's just like linking predestination with Arminianism. The link has been missing all the time. And finding the link, the secret the Holy Spirit told me, it just whispered to me. They say, predestination is in different levels. I got the key. And the rest was study. So in the same way, context, you study the context, make sure you don't run out of it. And don't read something that is not there, or don't twist it to fit what you think. But you're just open. Once you start seeing, it opens up to you. And in the same way, word study, look at the syntax, the extra thing, and look at exegetical, how the phrase is. So all these protect, don't run from the Greek, don't run from the original, etc. And it protects and it removes all our presumption. Even when He reveals the sin, it has presumption. But the more we study, the Word of God is the two-way sword. It cuts away our presumption. And we see things that we never saw before. Yes. Correct. Pastor Aaron is talking about experience produces revelation. Yes, in a sense. In a sense that when I say I hear the Spirit, it's also an experience. How do you hear His voice, His thoughts, all this? And God is a person. And that's the way it has always flowed. This area, of course, on the negative side, people who claim experiences and then they go into false prophets. Recently, I saw a letter that has been sent to me by one John Winston, started a house of love. And he believes that the Bible is not the Word of God anymore. And so a lot of long, thick things. And so he's in Malaysia and he wants to start something new. And so that's out. When is our protection? Our experience must be within the context of the Bible. Otherwise, there's no end. So our protection is the Word of God. In the end, to summarize, the Spirit and the Word. You can't go without either. If you've got the Word without the Spirit, it's very hard to understand. Very hard to see. We need the Spirit to enlighten us, then we see. Remember the disciples struggled with 3 years under Jesus, they don't see anything until in Gospel of Luke, Jesus opened their understanding to understand the Scripture. So there is a Spirit part that's necessary. Both keep working together. Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. The Word and the Spirit. Always these two must flow together. From Genesis to Revelation. Yes, it does. You are right. It's the same thing where unless you have experience, because God is a God or a person, a real person, which produces a revelation. And then of course it's for us to do the homework, HW homework. Now that is on the recipient.
it's very interesting to note,
when a person has gone through that, if you have experience, you share, it's not so powerful. I mean, it's touching, but still doesn't, can be more powerful. You experience and revelation, you go beyond the point of manifestation, you go into revelation, and so that in the end, people say, he knows God, kind of thing. You go into the realm of revelation, you really know God better, and then the realm of love, etc. When you could do a homework and you're more grounded in the Bible, remember we also got to be rooted and grounded in love. You not only grow in love, you have to be rooted. You grow, and you're not grounded. You're like a tree without deep roots. Then when you share, there is something that is commended that can be received. You can help people. What is the purpose of revelation, explaining revelation homework? So that the individual you share to get the benefits of this homework will give what I call explanation. Right? When you have done your homework, you can explain with scripture. So these people have the benefits of experience, reverence, explanation. What's the purpose? So that this person, through the explanation that conquer his mind, mental barrier, will enter into the revelation realm, the spiritual barrier, and will move into the realm of God as a person and experience God in that same experience. Our purpose for sharing is so that you have the same experience. Isn't that true? You can have the same experience in a different way. When someone share that they have accepted Christ, what's the purpose? Not to get us to accept Christ again, who have. We thank God. It encourages and it reminds us of when we accepted Christ and it touches us. But to those who have not accepted Christ, is for them to understand that they also can have the same experience. In the end, what's the end purpose of all teaching, all revelation, all teaching? So that we all would know God personally. Isn't that right? God and you walk in the garden alone. Not alone because we're all with you and with God. That's the end purpose. God is not trying to start school, although we had school. God is not just trying to start a church, although we had church. God wants a family to hold you by the hand and walk with you day to day. Isn't that the angle of the whole Bible? And God is a person who can be experienced. Just that you can experience one another over the teh-tarik talk. Good and bad. So we can experience God. God says, I am a person. Triune God. Come and experience me. So, He gives experience to different people. They understand it. They say it. They do their homework. They explain it. Then the others who don't have the experience can go up here. Correct? I know some things will be controversial. The sad thing is, here. Sometimes, people have experience, but they don't have this area here, they don't have this area here. So what happens? They cannot continue in the experience. Or, they may not step on the fullness of what the experience came to do in their life. How many of us have been baptized in the Spirit long, long ago and didn't know the benefits? We had an experience, but it didn't really benefit that much until we realized what it was for, what it came to do. How many people pray in tongues long, long hours when we first started? No, it's when we learn the benefit and we learn the mechanics of it. So the sad part is those with the experience or a little bit of experience or about to have the experience, these things help them. But those who have no experience or who are empty the experience, and they may go against their experience. And they will find explanations against their experience. The contra thing. And spiritualize the wrong thing. Why? Because they become yielded to the devil. The wrong spiritual realm that was against all these things. And the Pharisees were in danger of moving further to blaspheme against God. And God rejects them. Remember that? Praise the Lord. So it does explain what Pastor Aaron is talking about. Why those no experience and they are against. And they will be against anything. Sometimes the same people who are against that experience will be against any other one who has a different rank. The same people who oppose Rodney Howard Brown are the same people who were against other things long ago. They haven't changed at all. I mean, in Australia, there's a group. In New Zealand, there's actually a group going now against him. Even in America, they are now at a point where they're writing books against him. Wait another 1-3 years, you'll find anti-books. Oh, I heard about that. Faxes and all that. Yeah. They send a fax to you. See? Now to the fax. That's it. Oh, there's a long fax that a lot of people have received. Same people. These are the same people when Billy Graham wanted to come who went against him. And you know, I was among those who organized who were eager to organize a trip to his place when he was coming to Singapore. And they were called the liberal. And versus the fundamentalists. It was all evangelical battle. Even among non-charismatic, they had their battle. Liberals against fundamentalists. It will be a continual battle of the Word of God against the enemy's lies. So we say, wow, what is real then? What is true? How do we know we're not deceived? Jesus Christ is Lord. You love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You want Jesus to be proclaimed. Jesus is the only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. If a person believes things like that, no matter how much we differ and don't understand each other, I will accept that that person has truth. Correct? I will never write off that person as a cult. Never. But there are people calling Ronnie Howard Brown cult. They're calling Kenneth Hagin cult. Correct? It's just wrong. That's wrong. So, the people calling some of our experience familiar students. God have mercy on that. Praise the Lord. Is this all right now? Shall we go on? Have you got the test? Pass up by Tuesday. Early got blessing, late got penalties. Okay. Praise God. Shall we take this off and wrap this whole thing off? We need to go to just at least to introduce a different topic before we close on a mega church pastor. It's a totally different area, different topic. We're going to touch on. Mega ministry, mega church has its various challenges. And we have what I call mega leadership. And I don't want to limit it just to the pastor, although we're looking at megachurch pastor. The reason they put megachurch pastor is because the pastor has the most job in any mega ministry. Just a five-fold ministry, you know who has the most job? The pastor. I know traveling ministry has its pros and cons, evangelism, but there's nothing like being there constantly, day in, day out with the people. The hardest jobs are those who stay behind. Correct. Which is, I know having a baby, you know, can be a tremendous thing. 9 months and then you know, all the hospital and all these things. But tell you, bringing out that baby to an adult is more work. I didn't say that having a baby was that easy. I mean, all the inconveniences and, you know, the discomfort a lady goes through and the bag, you know, carrying the baby. And neither is a birth that one, although we believe God that redeemed from the curse of the law, everything just flow. But bringing up the child is more work. And so in that reason, they call it a mega church pastor, because of all the fivefold ministers, the pastor has actually the most work. He is the one who, and yet everything falls in his hands to bring those people up. Mega leadership. We look at, first of all, Bible mega leaders. Sometimes we forget that the Bible leaders were leaders, and by mega, we want to talk about over 1 million. The word mega in its Greek sense is the word that signifies millions. Am I not right? Mega, it can be generally big. Megaton, 1 million tons. 1 million tons. Okay. Megaton bomb. Million. Let's say. Okay. It's above 1 million. Above a million people. Where your leadership, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have all the people. Sri Yungi's church, I'm not sure where it starts 1 million yet. Has it? Anybody know the latest? Has it reached 1 million yet? I'm sure they are reaching it, right? In membership. 800,000 now or something? Probably not touch a million yet. But we know his ministry does reach to more than a million, correct? Kenneth Hagin may not have a Bible school with 1 million students, but you and I know he probably has reached to 1 million people. So, by mega, I'm talking about a rich or person, and of course, when it's all localized, that's the biggest challenge. All scatter also has its challenges. And so there are mega leaders in the Bible. By mega, you have rich international ministry. National prominence, international ministry. When you're affecting millions of lives. And all the thousands, ten thousands, and hundred thousands, all are on the way to mega, and we are slowly developing into mega leadership. Some of these people that you can think of on the Bible are people like Moses. 2 million people. And those are people he has to be for 40 years. 2 million people to lead. That's bigger than Cho Yung-Gi's church. And some of them are rascals, called a mixed multitude. That need mega skill, correct? They need mega skill. Understand that leading 5, leading 10, and leading mega is different stuff. It is definitely different. Don't fool yourself. It has to take a special gifting and ability. And other people, Joshua. Anybody know a rough estimate? 3 million would be a fair guess? Yes. Who? Who? These 2 million is probably including everything. 6 million. 2 million. I think includes 2 million, I remember. And this is roughly 3 million. Now, by mega leadership, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have all those people with you. Has Jesus Christ ever ministered to a crowd of 1 million? No. But his ministry and his ability and his words and his actions are all for the multi-billions, correct? So never ever try to advertise mega leadership by saying you have preached to 650,000 people or 1 million people at one time. What's so special about that? Jesus himself had hardly preached to a crowd of more than 100,000 at one time. So there's more to just looking at the crowds and statistics. It is a reach of a person's ministry, a person's life. mega leadership requires a mega spiritual life. It requires a mega mind and a mega emotion. Everything is megaton. Make sure you don't become gigantor, that's all. You don't know who is gigantor? Okay, right. Some of the old cartoons are no more available today. Do they still have that? Anybody still watch cartoons? No. Praise the Lord, there's one going out from there. Joshua, 3 million. Some things you don't seem to forget. When you ask a little child watching Gigantor, and I still remember the first line. Gigantor. I don't know, you just don't forget that at all. Even though your mind is renewed. Okay. There's Joshua, 3 million people. And as they move into the promised land, looking at it from step to step, let's have King David. You look like all the good guys, right? King David, what's his leadership? The whole nation, what was the population? Can you guess anybody? Definitely more than all those figures there. The whole nation. The nation of Israel. Wow. Anybody? Have anybody done any research? What does the Bible say? Yes? Nobody knows the exact figure. It's all guesses. So we can only give a safe guess as some scholars have given. So he gets about 10 million. This looks conservative. Looks conservative lah. Give a round conservative guess. Solomon, the Bible uses expressions like the sand of the sea. Wow, we don't know what is that. And some other people that have a different approach, but reaches to a whole nation, Elijah, whatever population that was, but definitely measured in the millions. The whole northern kingdom was under his influence, prophetic realm. These are all mega leaders, and they have done things that require organization. They, as you can see from some of these people, if you govern 2 million people, did Moses do any organization? Yes. Joshua? Yes. David? Yes. Elijah? Elijah, no. It's more influence. And so Elijah did a little bit of organization that continued from the time of Samuel. And we forgot Samuel there. And Samuel is before David. In the time of Saul. So it's between this figure. The population was growing. Let's give it 5 million. And he started a school of prophets that was passed on to Elijah. And a prophetic school with a few people, but those prophets affect nations. They're sent all over the place. So in that way, Elijah had what I call inherited organization. Inherited organization. When you go to mega leadership, there are certain things you cannot escape. Right? You just leave them down and give you some thought to ponder before you go off. In all this mega leadership, there are two aspects. One aspect is called the organization part. You have to have a gift in that area. Organization. If you don't have a gift for organization, you're not meant for mega leadership. You're probably one of those within the mega leadership, under someone. Mega leaders have to be good at organization. They have to be skillful to handle all the people that will come under them. Sometimes I come across ministers who believe that they could plant big ministries or big churches. And when you relate to them on a personal level, you realize they're very disorganized people. Indisciplined. They don't keep routine. They don't know responsibility. And it's obvious that when you have an organization on this side, here is the corporate side. Here is the personal side. That there has to be, on the counterpart, something in your life. Highly disciplined. Those who are not disciplined will always come under the leadership of others who are more disciplined. They can serve under people who are not, they can serve under leadership, but they cannot be the leader. All successful mega leaders are highly disciplined people. After we go through this series, you will see whether you have the qualification to be a mega leader. If you don't have, then sit under other mega leaders. It is important for us to develop organizational skills, and this is an interesting thing. To lead 2 million people, 3 million people, 5 million people, 10 million people, it is definite that your personality that God gave you, or whatever it develops into to achieve that, will be abnormal to people. Hope that doesn't frighten you off. How do I put this? As a point, maybe I put start from this side first. Two people, okay, you will be abnormal. I'm not saying that in general this is a qualification. What's the qualification that we learn to be a mega leader? To be abnormal. Understand that anyone who is called to this thing will not be, have to be, you have to be different from the normal. You cannot be average anymore. There has to be a difference in your life. There's one more guy in the New Testament, or with Jesus, I mean, we could have done it, but I want to take Paul in. From the time that he was young, he was not normal. He was not normal. There was something in his life that bursted forth. Look at the book of Galatians. Huh? So if some people accuse you of being abnormal, you just smile and praise the Lord. But abnormal in the right way, please. Abnormal can be, is normally used for in a negative sense. I'm using the word abnormal in a positive sense. Galatians. It says in verse 13, for you have, chapter 1 verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. Even when he was a Jew, he was a funny Jew. Different from other people. He says, I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. Abnormal. And tried to destroy it. Things that other Jews don't do, he do. Other Jews may disagree, but don't go to that extent, but he goes to that extent. Abnormal. Verse 13. I advance in Judaism beyond. Do you see the word beyond? Beyond can also look as not normal. Not normal from the rest. Beyond many of my contemporaries. In my own nation, the whole nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. In class, he was the abnormal one under Gamaliel. Whether abnormal in the good sense, as the one who stands out or not. So watch out when in among your own class you have some abnormal one. Always different from everybody else. Whether abnormal in the good sense as the one who stands out or not.
So watch out when in among your own class you have some abnormal one.
Always different from everybody else. I know you're all different, but some are more different than others who are different. And being abnormal may not be so bad. Maybe some of you find you cannot fit anywhere. You try this and try that, never fit. You seem to be abnormal. All the rest of people are round or they are square. You're somewhere in between. It could be a pentagon or hexagon, octagon. You just can't fit in. And you're wondering where you fit in. Maybe there's only one special octagonal hole for you to fit in. One special call and no one else but you. Don't start looking at one another now. Okay. Abnormal. Praise the Lord. Finding your gift. You're above average, beyond the average. What is this beyond? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Paul says, so am I. This guy. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. This Paul is really different from everybody else. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. St. Corinthians 11. And a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He called himself that in his episode. He says he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He doesn't believe in giving half measures. So there's a sense of that abnormal. What about the corporate side? You will have that. Unusual ways you organize, unusual methods. Isn't it obvious to us that if you want to move 10,000 people and you want to move 1 million people, that your methods will be different? Correct? And some of you may be called to mega ministries, and we learn the unusual things while we are small, not wait till we are big. While you're ministering to 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people. But these are the things that are for the future that the world hasn't seen yet. One of the greatest struggles that I ever have to have in my life is because of my differences from the way everybody else does things. I receive so much flack, so much pain. But one thing that I know is that we are pioneering new things that nobody has done before. And in 10 years' time, some of the things now we have, people are now realizing the benefits of it, but we have already saw it 10 years ago. And now some others are saying, we now have something that people cannot see that they will see 10 years' time. And now they may dislike it, they may say, everybody do it this way, why must you do it this way? Kind of thing. How to answer? How to answer when average church members come? How to answer when average pastors come, average ministers come, average elders, average deacons come? You can't. Secrets of the Lord. I'm sorry, this is a classified secret. No. But these are things that we had to bear in order to become mega leaders. Every one of us have a destiny. I have a destiny to affect several nations, of course, to the world. I know it's my call to plant 10 churches in 10 nations.
And each church will affect the entire nation. There are things that we have to suffer, there are things that we have to come up with that will always be different. If you're different, what result? You're misunderstood. Correct? You will be misunderstood. And each one of you, in your small way, when you have different gifting, you're already different. I mean, let's say Jane, your personality is different. Right? I'm sure when she was growing up, her mother says, this daughter is so different. Because she's supposed to be a dramatist, actor, kind of special call in the area. And she comes to Bible school, she goes, so, oh, you look, she's different. So, wondering why? Everyone is different. And sometimes we got to preserve our differences to bring forth our ministry. The moment those differences die, we actually die too. And our ministries die. That is why we need a lot of graciousness to allow differences to one another. That is why we have to be more understanding. And there will be unusual methods to govern and to lead 10 million people, 3 million people, 5 million people. We will look at some of those details tomorrow. How David did it. It looks similar, but it's all special, it's all unique and different. It's a mega leader that we have. Some of you, even talking on a smaller scale, even a church of 100 and a church of 1,000 and a church of 10,000 are different. Even on a smaller scale. The things you do, the way you do it is different. And whether your ministry is a traveling ministry that goes from place to place, or your ministry is a traveling ministry that goes from stadium to stadium, makes a difference in how you approach and do things. We each will have to develop unusual methods, and your personality, this is your personality, can be abnormal. Praise the Lord. Abnormal doesn't mean you cannot come down to the level of people's normality. But it just means that there's a part of you that must not be removed. That is special, that God made you the way you are. For the future. Did I see a question coming up? From the hand coming up? From the third row over there? Yes. Because he failed. Oh, Daniel, yes, of course, Daniel. There are a lot of others. These are not the exhaustive list. But Daniel is the prime minister, yes. Joseph? Yes. Okay, let's add them in. Joseph. Daniel. Now, Solomon was successful in a certain way. And hopefully tomorrow we can talk about some of the failures too. Where it failed. There are skills that are involved. Joseph has a skill for mega leadership, and there's something interesting on this corporate organizational part, that when you look in mega leadership, you have to have in your corporate organization, etc., you have to have what I call, trying to find the right word, good right hand. Of course, nowadays our right hand and the left hand has to be equal strength. So I call that good hands. But you know the expression, your good right hand. Good hands. What we mean are good associates. Second level leadership. The success of any mega organization or mega leader is in his associates. It's not just in that person. Of course it's in that person. No doubt about it. But within the organizational system are his associates. That is why some people don't understand why I would defend my associate to the field if something is accused against them that is wrong. Because I want to develop a special relationship with associate. And that is why, I mean, I was liberal, and when something fall or anything, we are more family on the protective side, like protecting your own children. A bear, mother bear, protecting the bear cub. We have to have very good associates. Excellent ones. And here is where many people who are not called to mega leadership are unpuzzled by why everyone wants to be a mega leader, when within the mega leadership there's so much room for good associates. And the fact that mega leadership has to have good right hand. Think about David. Could he have succeeded without Joab, although Joab has his weaknesses? Could he have succeeded without some of these other prophets to follow him? Nathan and Gad and Benaiah, his mighty man. Could he? He would not. And even Joseph in the book of Genesis recognized it, and he said, choose good men. Amen? To organize the thing and to have family. He is particular about the second level. In mental leadership, your second and third and fourth level are as important as the top level. In a small organization, one good fellow doing a lot of powerful work can help, but not in mega size. Which is why people don't understand the direction sometimes they say, oh, just see how this is going, because they see so many things going on. Wow, so many. They cannot see the mega side yet. But we are training a lot of multiple independent people who can move like right hand without me there. That is why we are not doing it like other people or other churches. That is why now they are being trained to function as if I'm not there. Not like other people every week have to have a business meeting every week. To me, and my own unusual method, if you have to take 20 meetings to do something, it's too bad already. You have to take one, two good business meetings to get the business done. Otherwise, you get bogged down by bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is the curse of bigness. I repeat again. Bureaucracy is the curse of bigness that we must learn how to eliminate. When you grow big, it is natural to be bureaucratic. Too many lines and levels. You need to learn how to overcome that. So there has to be good right hand, good associate. And that means there has to be a special personality in a person's life that is what I call a stability, I can call it. The opposite, you can understand this word by looking at the opposite. The opposite is insecurity. Insecure people can never grow big. Insecurity. If a pastor is insecure when his church is only 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, he's gone. He cannot ever be a mega leader. If a five-fold minister is insecure because somebody else is coming, he's gone. I heard one time in a small little town in Malaysia, there's this pastor, a minister, who is quite well-known there, reasonable size church, quite well-known in other areas, has a prophecy that he will be a he'll plant a church of 10,000. Sadly, immediately the person starts being insecure and doesn't want to work with other ministries and began to pull himself away. He took that prophecy and began to pull himself away and do his own thing. Part of it was insecurity. He became more insecure. He doesn't know that that will kill that whole prophecy from coming to pass. If you're insecure as a person, how can you be secure with 10 million looking at you like vouchers? If you are insecure and not stable in yourself, there has to be an inner stability. Inner stability. How can you govern? Imagine, let's say over 10 million people. To govern 10 million people, you would need, let's say, a special leader over each 1 million, let's say 10. And then the millions have to be divided further. You may have 100,000 sub-leaders and sub-sub-leaders.
Correct.
And they can be doing funny things behind your back. All the different things. Some of them will do funny things. Some of them will say wrong things. How can you ever be a mega leader?
Some ministers are not gracious at all. They are not gracious to people disagreeing with them and not being disagreeable.
If you cannot sit there, how can you ever ascend to be a mega leader? Because when you got multitudes, not everybody will be agreeing.
And so there has to be a very strong inner stability. A very strong inner stability. You gather your strength from your being what I call a loner. Of course, it may offend people. Not loneliness, a loner. Although you're not a lone ranger, but you're not afraid of being alone. You get a strength and you know you're alone. You know, some of us, I mean, just now in the earlier session, we encourage you to fellowship and strengthen one another. But then the opposite needs to be there. Where without people, you still can stand. And you won't topple, you won't fall. You will know how to draw your grace from God. So these are some of the qualities that we are identifying to look at these people that we are studying in detail. But some thoughts that were given to you to think about mega leadership. There are some corporate things. Number one, organization has to come, whether you like it or not. Two, unusual methods. Three, good associates. Right hand, left hand, and good hand. On your personal side, there has to be something special about your personality or different. One is, you have to be very highly disciplined. Where you learn how to use the seconds while people are learning how to use the hours. Hello there. Your mind has to be very disciplined. Your body has to be very disciplined. Number two, there is no doubt that the way God twists and turns and molds your personality, you don't look normal to people and you don't sound normal and you don't feel normal. And some people just want you to be normal. But the moment you do, you lose your mega leadership call. You got to maintain that specialty that you know who you are. And knowing who you are comes to number three, your stability. You know who you are, you know where you're going, you know what you're doing. Prophecy come, prophecy don't come. It makes no difference. Good prophecy, bad prophecy. Evil report, good report. You know who you are, you know what you're doing, you know where you're going. There is an inner stability that will guide you in mega leadership. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord. And as we continue to look into those things that you have for us, we ask, Lord, that you establish us in your grace, you establish us in your word. Lord, some of your people here will be called out to mega leadership. Some will be called to good associates, O God, of mega leaders. But whatever our call, whatever our place in life, we want, O God, to do your perfect will. Most of all, I pray that your perfect will be done in each life, O God. That you will strengthen each one, encourage each one of them, so that everyone will know that they have a place in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.